Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I praise God for this wonderful opportunity. I had a PowerPoint prepared, but I wasn't able to bring my computer today. It's all good. I'm well prepared. All right. So today, I want to share something that has been in my heart, and I'm pretty sure as people of God, we have those questions in our hearts as well. And this word today will encourage us. So we're talking about doing God's work. My theme, I summarize it as serving God, a divine calling, a great privilege, a loving response to His grace. So we might have asked ourselves questions like, what does it mean to serve God? And if we are qualified to serve Him. And sometimes I ask myself, can God really use someone like me? So as I read in the Bible, I found that in so many places, there's good encouragement. So the Bible is very clear, telling us that every believer is called to serve God. So we will go about and try to answer four questions. The very first one is, what is it, serving God? And the second one is, why should we serve God? The third one is, who can serve God? The fourth one is, what prevents us from serving God? And how can we overcome those barriers? So for the very first question, what does it mean to serve God? We can read in Matthew 28:18-20. So I'll read, I'll write it down. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So we have received a commandment, and that is to do God's work. So serving God, it is in fact proclaiming the gospel, loving others, using our gift of using our gift for God's glory, building the church, and making disciples. And we can think of the verse that we just read when Jesus is asking us to go. This is referred to as the Great Commotion. That's where Jesus, before being taken up to heaven, he actually gave that commandment to his disciple. That speaks to my heart as I was asking myself the question of knowing if I qualify to serve God. So the answer to that question of asking, what is it to serve God? It is in fact just obeying God's word. We can read in Mark 16:15. It's emphasizing what we read previously. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So here again, it's emphasizing on the fact that we have been sent. We have received that commandment to go and make of every creature disciple. So serving God is not just a church service. It is us taking part of God's redemptive work, right, in the world. Doing what Jesus has asked us to do, it's serving Him. It's not necessarily standing up here and preaching as I'm doing today. It is actually obeying God's word in our daily life. to the second question, why should we serve God? I may have said it already. It is because we have received the commandment, right? Jesus has told us to go in chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. So us serving God, it is obeying his commandments. And obeying God, it's one of our way of showing him that we belong to him. In John 14:15, we can read, if you love me, keep my commandments. So this is Jesus talking to us, that if we love him, we have to keep his commandments. We have to obey him. That verse, it's also added. This idea, it's also emphasized on John 15:14. Here, Jesus said that you are my friends if you do what I command, right? So one of the reasons we have to serve God, it is because it is the commandment that we have received from our Christ Jesus, and because we want to keep a relationship with him, we therefore have to do his will. We have to obey him. The second answer to the question why we should serve God, it is because we love him. We can read that, we can read in John 3:16. Here he's talking about God's love, but we love God because God loved us first, right? So in John 3:16, it says that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God has loved us first, and by serving him, we're just showing him that we love him back. We respond to that love that he has shown to us even when we were not saved yet. That's said in Romans 5:8, but God has demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were all sinners, Christ died for us. So he loved us first. Us serving him is just showing him that we are responding to your love. We love you, and we want to do your will. Another reason why we have to serve God, it's because we love our neighbors. We all know how much of the blessing we have received in the presence of God. We know how much of peace we've been living in since we have known him. And as a cure to something that can destroy life, we cannot keep that to ourselves. We know that knowing Christ brings salvation, and if we have to keep that as a secret, that wouldn't be a sign of love for our neighbors. So we have to serve God because our neighbors need the salvation that God has given us. We can read in Romans 1:16. Here telling us about the courage, about not being ashamed, right? So it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and for the Greek, for also for the Greek. So we have known God, and we know that if one have to be saved, they need to receive, they need to hear the word of God. And they cannot hear if nobody has brought them that good news that we already have received. In Acts 4:20, I'll read here, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And in Romans 10:13-15, I was just going to read 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we know that salvation only comes from Jesus, and one has to call on his name. One has to accept his call, like they have to accept Jesus as the Savior and Lord to be saved. And we know that, so it comes naturally that we have to share the Word of God every time we have an opportunity, because we also want those around us could be saved. So sharing Christ is one of the greatest acts of love we can offer to other person. Now my third question here is, comes to who can serve God? If we've been paying attention from the very beginning, I mentioned it, it's everyone, but let's go into detail. So there's some kind of a misunderstanding as Christian, especially some of us who went in groups where we would have a leader, and if the group is very big, sometimes nobody really will notice us, and we think that the work that needs to be done here should be done by those at the front, the leaders. And we would find ourselves sitting in the church for many years and not really taking part of what is going on. And that's just the way those assemblies are. And I thank God for this assembly where God has given the vision of carrying his things in a way that gives every Christian, every member's opportunity of serving him. So we should know that serving God is not just a duty that pastors or evangelists or missionaries have to do. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So this is Jesus talking to his disciple. He didn't just talk to the leaders, he talked to everyone who was there, telling them that they will be his witnesses. And today, if we have to serve God, it is because we are Jesus' witnesses. So to the question, who shall serve God, it's actually all the believers. Everyone who believes in Christ can serve him, is actually serving him already. All right, we can read in 1 Peter 2:9. Saying, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Forget that word. Yeah, so we have been called. It's not by chance that we became Christian. We were responsive to the Word of God. The first time we heard, or even the 1,000th time when we heard about Christ, that time that we decided to believe, it is because God had a purpose for us. And that purpose, it is to do his work, because he has chosen us and has given us the mission. So that being said, we may have said to ourselves so many times that we are not that gifted, we are just ordinary people, but can he still use us, right? So the scripture is showing us that God is actually very good in doing just that. using ordinary people for his extraordinary mission. Let's think. God has used shepherds in the past, right? We can name Moses, we can name David. God has used fishermen. We can name Peter, Andrew, James, John. He also has used tax collectors like Matthew and Zacharias. God has used physicians like Luke. God has used soldiers like Cornelius. He has used farmers, sailors, kings, prophets, women, children, young and old. So God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people. That's why the question should come, are we willing to serve him? Because he has already called us. God has used young people as well. We can think of Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul had to encourage him because Timothy was a little younger when he got entrusted with some responsibility in the church. So I'll read, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So that was the encouragement that Timothy received. Another young person that God has used was Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1:6-8, Jeremiah said that he cannot speak due to his youth, yet God used him. God Ecclesiastes 12:1, God is talking here, say that remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. So God has used youth and is encouraging young people to serve him. So we can also think of another group of people that God has used, like women, right? In Judges 4:5, it talks about Deborah. Deborah was a woman that God has used. She was one of the female judge that served Israel at a very difficult period. She was capable of serving God, not because of her own abilities, but because God used her. So we can count on God to use us, no matter our gender. The other example of a woman that God has used is the Samaritan woman. This woman who met with Jesus at the well. The scripture says in John 4 that she left her pots. She went back to her town, went to tell about Jesus, she talked about Jesus to people, and many people that they followed her back to come and meet with Jesus, and they heard from God through Jesus that day because of the work of this woman. And we can find other examples in Romans where Paul is talking about Phoebe and Priscilla. So God has used women as well. God also has used those who felt inadequate, right? We have so many reasons that we would say, I would love to talk about God, but I feel that something is not just right. I'm not as eloquent as I should to do God's work. But we have good examples here in the Bible where some people felt inadequate, and yet God used them. We have the example of Moses. Moses said that he was slow of speech, but God used him. We see that in Exodus 4:10-12. Moses said, Oh my God, Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow in speech and slow of tongue. So this didn't stop God from using him. God said to him that he knew his problem, but he will put the word in his mouth. And we know the story of Moses, how Moses was able to take his people out of Israel. The other example is Gideon in Judges 6, verse 14 to 16. Gideon has, he mentioned the same concern. We can try to find this verse. Okay, I'll try to find it. So Judges 6, 14. I wrote it down, just can't find it right now. If anybody found this early, first they can read. Judges 6, 14 to 16.
Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man."
Thank you. Yeah. So Gideon also felt inadequate. He had many reasons. He was the least of his family, his father's house. His tribe wasn't the greatest either. Yet God used him. So every believer is a priest, as we read in 1 Peter 2, 9. Right? We have been chosen, and we can go to our God, our Father, and minister and praise him. That is what we have gained from the work that Jesus has done on the cross. We have access to God, so we don't need to go by an intermediary to have a relationship with God as it used to be in the Old Testament. Now, the fourth question was, what keeps us from serving God? We just went through what was serving God and why we should do it and who can do it. We know that it's something that we're supposed to do. But let's try to name a few things that can hinder us from serving God. One, for me and for many, can be lack of time. And we all know that this is literally just an excuse. It is one of the astuces that the enemy uses to prevent us from doing God's work. So lack of time, right? Many would say, "I'm too busy," but the scripture says that we should first seek the kingdom of God. Jesus says that in Matthew 6, 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So this is happening when people in front of Jesus have worried. They're worrying about their daily life, their needs that definitely have a sense. If we are busy taking care of our family, working, studying, those are good reasons to be busy, but Jesus reminds us that we should remember that the kingdom of God should come first, and all those other things will be added to us. We can get some encouragement from Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. I read only 16. "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." So our needs, they may still be there. We still have to take care of our family. We still have to keep our jobs, do well at school. But we should remember that The time is now always in our control, right? We cannot say that we will serve God only at a later time because of the business of because of what keeps us busy today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We have to serve God today. Colossians 3:23, it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. So everything we do, if we work, we have to work as if we were doing it for God. Because in our way of living, we can also be Jesus' witnesses. Like we, as I said before, it's not only by standing up here and preaching, it's also by our way of living. And if we're living in a way that pleases God, we will witness Jesus as well in our daily life. So another reason, or another reason we can give, I call it a reason, is the fear or hesitation, right? So many believers, we fear to be rejected. We fear to fail. We fear that they will criticize us, or one will know that we don't know enough. So we have to keep in mind that fear has never stopped God from accomplishing his purposes. As we mentioned some of the leaders in the Bible, like Moses, he was afraid, but his fear was did not stop him from serving God, because God went along with him. Let's read in 2 Timothy 1:7. Here it's saying that God has now given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So we have to remember, when fear tries to come in our way to prevent us from sharing the word of God, or to prevent us from testifying of what God has done to us, we have to remember that the Holy Spirit in us should give us the courage that we need to do God's work. All right, the last one, I'm naming here feeling of inadequacy, or feeling inadequate. We mentioned that already when I said I talked about Moses and Gideon. So many of us believe that we don't know enough, we're not gifted enough, or we cannot speak. But God answered all this with the same answer, right? He will be with us. In Exodus 4:12, it says, now therefore go, and I will be with you. Now therefore go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. So sometimes it's not about us trying to get as ready as we can, but it's about making ourselves available for God to use us, because he knows us very well and he can use us mightily, even if we don't have all the qualities that it takes to do the work. In Matthew 28:20, it's saying, I am with you even to the end of the age. We read that already. God is with us, so we should remember that when we decide to serve him, we're not going to go alone. We're not going to do it alone. He will be with us. So God's promise to his servants is that one of the greatest encouragements of every believer is that God never sends us alone. So in conclusion, I will say, it is a privilege to first know God and also to serve him. For most of us, serving him always comes a little bit later. We start by the first step, of course, it is knowing God. As for him using us, we can trust him that if it is in his will to use us in one way or another, He will do it because He is the Almighty God and nothing is out of His control. However, when it comes to the knowledge of the service that we can do for Him, we need to remember that we can serve God from wherever we are, from every place where God has placed us, either in our families, either at work or at school or in the neighborhood. There is someone, there is something that God has put in our heart that can benefit to someone, especially those who can give us an opportunity of discussing with them. So the main thing is for us to be willing and to be ready and to remember that God is powerful and He can do everything that need to be done for His purpose, for His word to be proclaimed. So I will end by saying that God is the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord of history, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who spoke the universe into existence. He is the one who holds life and death in his hands, and is one who loves us enough to send His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross and give us the salvation we have. So it is impossible for us to remain silent after receiving such an amazing grace from Christ. We have to remember that His Holy Spirit dwells in us, His word guides us, His power strengthens us, His promise sustains us. There are still great harvests waiting, and God can use us. We just have to make ourselves available and continue to trust in Him to give us the power, to give us His Holy Spirit, and be directed by Himself. Thank you for your attention.